Hey, so this is the last Sunday on the series of Overcoming Darkness, and it's been a great series. A number of you have asked me questions about it, and we have this Wednesday night at 6:30. I'm going to meet with anyone who'd like to have some prayer specifically about overcoming some strongholds in your life, overcoming places that the enemy has taken hold of you. So if you'd like to be a part of that healing prayer, just show up 6:30. We'll meet in the atrium and then go find a room from there. But we're going to offer this over the next several weeks, and I'd love for you to be a part of it. If you can't make it this week, but you say, Pastor, I can make it next week, just please let me know that. There are a lot of notes. It's actually two messages that I'm trying to do. I'm not going to do two messages, though, okay? I'm just going to try to weave together it into one message. It may get a little sloppy here, but just deal with it, all right? Okay, very good. A couple of things is, one is we have our youth wall that's out there to help support our kids as they go to camp, and also Mission Week. It's out there on the left. We encourage your participation in that. I think we have one more week of that, Alyssa, one or two more weeks of that. So please participate, pick up an envelope, fill it up, put it in there's a box right next to it, just put that envelope there. One other thing I want to mention, we had the Mother's Day pictures going on. Debbie and Daryl, how many pictures did y'all take so far? Do you even know? No clue. Okay. Y'all leave early, okay, to go out there. So y'all talk to Debbie, and Daryl is a professional photographer. He's taking free pictures, and I'd love for you to hang around for that. I have a special guest, two special guests that are with us today. Where are y'all? I saw y'all somewhere. Are you okay? There's Stephanie. She's back here. All right. You don't have to stand up, Debbie and Lacey, okay? Just raise your hand. These two beautiful ladies back here sitting with Stephanie are Stephanie's first cousin and her second cousin, Debbie West and soon to be Lacey Thomas Carter. Fowler. I don't know why I was thinking Thomas Carter. Thomas Fowler. Soon to be Thomas Fowler in about a month. Yay! She's so excited. Lacey's up in Houston. She practices family law there. And she especially is involved in CPS, a lot of CPS work. God bless her. And then Debbie West, we have been Stephanie's first cousin forever. And she just came back, from Singapore or Shanghai or something like that. And anyway, but we're glad that y'all are here. So very, very glad that you're here. Kind of a neat little connection that we have, Debbie and I have, is that when I was in sixth grade at Bel Air Elementary School in Hearst, Texas, her mother was my teacher. And so it's a very sweet connection. We have these pictures with me, with her mother, Mrs. Bradford, wonderful lady. She's now with the Lord. And God bless you. God bless you, Debbie. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, as we begin this final message on overcoming darkness. And if you've not been here, I know some of you are visiting with your mom. There's been a five-step process that we've gone through on overcoming strongholds, overcoming lies, overcoming just defeated places in our life. And the five steps are these. Number one is we repent. And repent at its core means we change our mind, okay? We change our mind about whatever. We change our mind about the lie or lies we've come to believe in as the Holy Spirit brings them to the surface. We change our mind about the sins that we are committing that the Holy Spirit highlights and says these things need to be turned from. And we all believe in lies. Everybody here believes in lies. And so you're like, I'm just not sure about this. Listen, I know this. There's some of you, you have believed the lie that says, I'm always going to be poor. I'm always going to be poor. It will always be this way. We will never get above our financial state. It's just going to be, I've lived there, okay? I've lived in that place. It will always be, that's a lie. It's a lie from the devil. The devil wants you to believe that you're always going to be poor. But we know in Scripture it says that my God will supply all of your needs according to his what in glory? According to his riches in glory. He wants you to prosper. I don't know what that's going to look like for every person, but it's not going to be poverty, okay? But some of us have that mindset. Others have had this mindset that I will never get beyond where I am right now in a relationship. That I'm never going to see reconciliation between me and this other person. It's never going to happen. We will never be reconciled. There will always be animosity between us. And that's a lie. Because God says, I want there to be reconciliation. Also, God's going to give you the strength to do your part, and then God's going to do what it takes to change that other person's heart, okay? Sometimes we just come into agreement with the lies. We think, well, this is just reality. But in reality is what God says is reality, not what you're experiencing. And God wants there to be reconciliation. So we live from his reality, not from the lies of the world or the lies that we've come to believe that Satan has put in our life, that he's spoken to us. So repent. Secondly, we look at the open doors. What are the open doors in my life? Personal sin. What family sins do I see kind of passed down from generation to generation? Along with those, what vows have I said? What judgments have I made against myself that I have come in to believe? I'm stupid. I can never learn this. That's too hard for me. I can't do that, whatever that may be. And we've come into agreement with a lie. The third and fourth step of renunciation, where we renounce the sin or the lie. I'm not standing in agreement with that. That is wrong. I'm not going to practice that. I may fall back into it, but I see now it's wrong. I see the lie is false. I'm turning from it. Fourth is take authority in Jesus' name. Every evil influence, every demonic power that is behind that lie, behind that sin, now must leave. You see, when you close the door, they got to go. And you close the door when you confess the sin, when you renounce the sin, they have no legal access. The spiritual, they can no longer oppress you in that area. And then step five is to receive the Father's blessing. You have to replace what the negative is and replace it with the truth. And so that's where we're on. And then we'll spend a little bit of time about how to stay free, how to walk in the place where we are always overcoming darkness. And so as we looked at before, the book, for those of you who want to go deeper in this, this is a great book along these lines called Unbound by Neil Lozano. Talked about that, the power of blessing and how blessing sets our identity. Overcoming darkness is more than breaking agreement with the enemy. As I said, it's equally coming to agreement with what God says. I don't just deny the sin, renounce the sin. I come into agreement with what God says. And so the big idea from last week's message that we'll carry over today is this. Read it with me. To overcome darkness, we must live in the experience. Amen. Father blessed Jesus throughout his ministry. Again, these notes are up on the website. You can go and look at them. The whole message from last week covers some parts of this. This is all the blessings that the Father spoke over Jesus. He blessed him. He said, "This is my son. This is my son." Say that with me. "This is my son," is what he said, "whom I am what? Well pleased." I'm proud of this guy. I'm proud of this boy of mine. Before Jesus had done anything, before he preached a message, healed the sick, cast out any demons, the Father said to his son, "This is my son who's not done anything but come to earth. This is him, and I'm proud of him." His identity was not based on performance. And if you want to walk in the Father's blessing, that's what you have to do. But Satan wants to rob you of walking in the Father's blessing. He does not want you to walk in your identity. And this is kind of where we stopped last week. So your identity is who you are in the sight of God. Your calling, your purpose, your vocation, whatever, the specific or general things that God wants you to do. Those two things are never to be confused in the sight of God. You are not what you do. No matter how good that doing is, you are not what you do in the sight of God. No matter how bad that doing is, you are not what you do in the sight of God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, some of you can quote it. Many of you learned it in Sunday school or in vacation Bible school. It reads in the NLT, in fact, whatever translation you have, just read it with me. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become," what? Everybody say it together, "children of God." To those who believe in him, not just in their head, but in their heart, to those who put their trust in him, to those he gave the right to be known as children of God. That is your identity in the sight of God. You are a child. And I want us to read this statement that we focused in on last week. right here. If I don't live out of my identity in Jesus, that is, as a child of God who is fully loved, enjoyed, accepted, cherished, forgiven, righteous, beautiful, and heroic in God's eyes, then I try to find my identity or significance in activity. That's what I try to do. I try to find my significance in what I do. I am what I do. You accept me based upon what I do. You do that long enough, you will wear yourself out because you will never do enough. Or you will fail so far and you'll think, I can't come back. I've fallen so far. I've messed up so much. I cannot come back from that place. And you'll live in this pain, in this past regret or whatever. When you are seeking validation of your worth through your activity, as I said, you'll never do enough because Satan always wants you to believe this lie that your identity, that your worth is based upon your value. It's based upon what you do. Now, I want you to go with me here to this place. Here I am. I'm born 1963. It's hard to believe I'm that old, right? Okay. Not really. All right. 1963, I'm born. What is my identity when I'm born? What is my identity? What is my identity? That's my name. I am at the core of my being a... I am at the core of my being a what? Son. I'm not at the core of my being Scott McKay, the future pastor of Willow Drive Baptist Church. Scott McKay, the sire of five children. I'm not Scott McKay, the Air National Guard chaplain. I'm not that. I'm not that. They gave birth, my mom gave birth to me. They didn't say, one day he'll be great in the eyes of God and he'll become a chaplain and a pastor and he'll have five children and a lovely wife. They didn't say that. What did they say? What did they say? Here's my boy. That's what I'm known as, a son. That's what I'll always be known as, a son. I'm known as a son. That is my identity through and through. And for everybody here, that's exactly what your identity is in the sight of God if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That is the core of who you are, is a son or daughter of God. You're valued not because of what you do. You're valued because of who you are. You're a son. You're a daughter. You see, if you aren't established in your identity as a child of God, then you try to attain your value to God through effort, through works. See, some of you came in today feeling really rotten about your relationship with God because you are so far from Him. You have done things, said things, acted in ways, and you're like, oh, I've got to go to church today with my mom. I'm just going to feel awful when I go in there. Few of you felt that way. Some of you walked in and felt, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm ready to go. Got my tithes check. I'm ready to go. Going to church. We're going to have a great day because I'm doing really good. And your identity on both ends of that's based upon your effort. See, if you aren't establishing your identity as a child of God, then you try to attain your value through your efforts, through your actions. This results in two very negative things. One is, if your life is going good, if your life is going good, you become like the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, and you begin comparing yourself to everybody else. If you know the story of the prodigal son, go ahead and turn there to Luke chapter 15. It's a story of two brothers. The younger brother is a renegade. He says to his dad, give me my money. I'm out of here. I want my inheritance. And so the father gave him his inheritance. The boy went and spent it on wild living. Women, booze, whatever. Comes up destitute. The only job he can find is feeding hogs. And he's eating the food himself, and it says he came to his senses, and he says, I can't believe I'm here. My dad will take me back. I'll save my dad. I'm such a sorry, awful, terrible person. I'm not worthy to be your son. Just take me in as your servant. And if you know the story, as he's coming home, the father sees him from the distance. The father runs to him. He embraces him, and the son says, I'm awful. I stink. I'm not your son anymore. I'll just be a servant. And what did the dad say? He said, are you kidding? We're having a party. And so he threw this big party. He said, because my son that I thought was dead is now alive. The older brother had always been the faithful one. He'd always been the one who'd worked for his father. And so here's where we pick up the story. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. The older brother was angry. He wouldn't go in. He wouldn't go into the party. His father came out. He begged him. But he replied, All these years I slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, what do you do? You celebrate by killing the fatted calf. I've been a good servant. I've always done right. You never helped me out. I have slaved for you. I am better than that punk. Look at me. And his father said to him, what? Look, dear son. Son, you're not a servant. Dear son, you've always stayed with me. You've always been by me. And everything I have is what? You're my son. Everything I have is yours. You're not a servant. If you aren't established in your identity as a child of God, then when your life is going well, all of a sudden what you do is you do exactly what the older boy does. You compare yourself to everybody else. You will see yourself superior to others and you will become judgmental of them. Look at my life. Look how God's blessed me. You compare yourself by virtue of your performance, by your good actions, by your abilities, by your beliefs, by your positions, by whatever else. You're always, here's what servants do. Write it down if you're taking notes. Servants always compare. Servants are always comparing because they are trying to gain a higher stature among the other servants and gain the approval of the boss. They're always comparing because they want to get higher stature among the other servants and to gain the approval of the boss, the employer, the dad, the mom, your heavenly father. Look at me compared to him. His life is messed up. I'm better. We may not say those words, but that's the way we feel. Here's how I, Scott McKay, know when I'm walking in my identity with, as a child of God. Here's how I know it. Here's how I know it right here. There's many ways, but here's how I know what I am. When somebody else is doing well that I am close to, like Gene's doing well, Eric's doing well, others are doing well, the Barber family's doing well, their family's doing great, and I'm able to fully enjoy that and laugh along with them and celebrate the victories rather than thinking, why is my family so screwed up? Why can't we ever get together? Why has God blessed them and he hadn't blessed me? And then I start nitpicking, like if it's pick on the barbers, like a pick on, yeah, but I know Chandler. She's not all she's cracked up to be. But she really is, you know. She really is. But that's what we do. We start comparing our kids. We start comparing. Somebody says, hey, man, I just want a trip to wherever. And we're like, oh, I'm so glad for you. But in our hearts, we're like, man, that isn't fair. He doesn't work that hard. And I know him. He lies all the time. That ain't right. What am I doing? Servanthood. I'm comparing. He doesn't deserve it. I do. I know when I'm walking as a son, when, say, another church is successful and their ministry is blossoming, and I can go to the pastor or I see him, and I just say, man, I'm so glad for you. I'm so happy for you. Thank God for your church. It is just doing such great things. Instead of sitting back saying, yeah, but I know some stuff about them. I know that guy. I've heard some stories. And they don't believe the Bible as much as I do. That's what servants do. They're always comparing. They're never at a place of peace. I want to tell you how true brothers and sisters, not just in the Lord, but in a family, relate to one another. True brothers and sisters in a family relate to one another with encouragement, with hope, with joy as the others succeed. When my brothers and sisters, my brothers and sister, when we get together, when I talk with them on the phone or whatever, at least for me, it's not a competition. Like, okay, I got to tell you what all my kids are doing so you'll be impressed by us. I mean, they want to genuinely know, but I'm not trying to push that on them, to prove something to them. Here's what's happening at our church. Here's how God's blessing us. Here's what God's doing with our children. See? That's what servants do. Sons are just able to enjoy what's happening in other people's lives without feeling slighted, without feeling like they've got to make a point with something else or about something going on in their life. That's the way brothers and sisters in Christ relate to one another. They don't see things as a competition, but servants do. I like competition. That's not anything against competition, but I'm just saying as we compare ourselves to each other, they don't see things as a competition. And here's the other side of this thing. If you don't get your identity just simply by being a child of God, a son or daughter of God, then what happens is, the other side of this thing is, when you fail, when you do bad, when you aren't where you're supposed to be in your relationship with God, you become like the younger brother. And you say to yourself, I'm not worthy. I'm a bad person. I'm a failure. This will never get better in my life. It will always be this way for me. I will never succeed. Why is it I always have these problems? I used to be so close to God. I'll never get back to that place again. That's exactly what servants do. A son, a daughter says, man, I messed up. God, forgive me. Thank you. And I walk right back into that place of identity. Thank you. The core of who you are is a son, is a daughter. It's not your performance. Satan wants you to think that you're nothing but a hopeless hypocrite. You are what you do. And if you aren't doing enough, then you can't be that close to God. He wants you to live in pain. He wants you to live in regret. He wants you to live in confusion. He wants you always comparing. He doesn't want you to let go of the past. He wants you to think that some things are too far to get, too big, too great to get past. You are forgiven. Oh, yes, you are forgiven. But you are damaged goods, is what you are. And that is nothing but a lie. It is a lie. You aren't what you do. Inside of God, at the core of who you are, your child. These are my clothes. There's nothing embarrassing in here, okay? All right. I know someone's like, is there underwear in there? No, I didn't do it. I've got a little discretion, Stephanie. Okay, it's my wife. Not today. Yeah, you don't like this towel, do you? No, not a bit. This is my gym towel. This is stuff I take to the gym, okay? I like it. So that way, as I lose it, it's no big deal, okay? But it's all messy. These are some of my running shorts. This is a cool shirt, River of Hope shirt right here. Okay, Nanette gave me. It's awesome. Great River of Hope. Are these me? Are these me? Is this Scott McKay? This stuff is Scott. That is Scott McKay. Maybe on Rapture Day, that's Scott McKay. You know, like nothing. You're like, cool. He's gone. He's... Okay, I won't go any further with that. Okay, here we go. These are my running shorts, my workout shirts. I run, I do all this kind of stuff, I enjoy it. They stink, okay? They stink. All right? I work hard, I run hard, I like all that kind of stuff, athletic stuff. And they stink. They stink. They need to be washed. But are these me? This shirt is actually clean. There's nothing wrong with this shirt. I just threw it in there. This shirt's a good shirt. I'm going to hang it back up. I'm going to wear it, okay? Even if it's a little wrinkled, it's a cool shirt. But there's nothing wrong with this shirt. But this shirt isn't me. Here's the thing. This is my bad stuff. My failures, my stinky stuff, the stinky stuff that's happened to me, okay? It's not me. And these are the great things. This is Scott McKay, the champion, the handsome man, okay? It's not me. It's just stuff I wear. These things are not my identity. Ah, okay. It's not my identity. It's just stuff. It's stuff that's happened to me. It's stuff that I've done to myself. It's good stuff. It's bad stuff. But it's not the core of who I am. And neither is the stinky stuff that's happened to you, the stinky stuff you have done, or the good stuff that you have done. All that stuff is not you in the sight of God. You are at your core a child of God. My identity is not linked to my good activity or the sin that I've done. How was I identified when I came into this world? This is the son of John and Julia McKay. And that is how I'll be known for eternity in the sight of God. This is the son born through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when you do that, you overcome darkness in your life. When you begin to live out of that identity rather than the identity based upon the stuff you have done or not done, it causes rest for your soul. You begin to overcome darkness in your own life. The Father wants you to live under His blessing. Now, folks, again, I'm trying to combine two messages. No way I can do it. This is good, though. This is a really good statement. Read it with me. As parents, we must remember that correction has to do with performance and approval has to do with identity. If a child's identity isn't affirmed, then any correction sounds like rejection. Amen. Amen. We affirm their identity. You're my son. I love you. I care for you. I'm here for you. But if that son goes off course and heads to the weeds, there are some corrective things that we have to do. But we don't withdraw our identity. We don't withdraw our affirmation of who they are in our lives. Now, getting on to the message that I was going to preach today, which I'm just going to spend a few minutes on, and that is about staying free. I want to talk just briefly about a few things, and some of the things I've already covered here. And that is, continuing freedom requires entering into battle where you're free. Listen, I want to tell you something. When it comes to overcoming darkness, your freedom will always be tested. Your identity will always be tested. When Jesus was on earth, Satan tempted him. Two of the three times he tempted him, and he tempted him with these words. Do you remember what he said? If you are what? If you are the Son of God. Say that with me. If you are the Son of God. What was he tempting Jesus with? What was he testing him with? Identity. I'm going to test your identity. I'm going to trip you up, because he can trip you up in your identity. It affects your calling in this life. You then become to think, it must be that I have to keep my relationship with God through my own efforts, my goodness. Now, folks, there's a lot here, and I'm just going to skip over quite a bit of it. There's just a few things I want to mention, though. I've already preached on that. When the battle comes, respond as a growing, and the battle will come. You can't stop it. The battle will come. Here's one thing. Refuse to be discouraged. When Satan comes back, when the demonic comes back, it comes back like a force. It's like, man, I thought I had get victory over that thing. I'm feeling like a pushback? Why am I not living in victory? Understand, he doesn't give up ground easily. So when you begin to walk in your identity and all of a sudden there's this freedom and this new joy, it's like, wow, I'm a child of God. This is awesome. Understand, he's going to kick back. And he's going to hope, what he hopes to do is make you fail, and then you're going to feel like, oh, I'm so awful, I'm so terrible, I fell off the wagon, I did this thing again, it's terrible. And again, you're linking what you did with your identity, and he keeps you in that place. God will give you many opportunities to defeat your enemy. God allows Satan to test you to develop your perseverance, to give you victory and faith. He wants you to know he is good, he is on your side. You will fall, you will stumble, but he will be there to pick you up so that you continue in the battle. Why? Look, how do you get stronger physically? What do you have to do to get stronger physically? You got to work out. But if you want to move up physically from one level of strength to the next level of strength, what do you have to do? You got to do what? None of you work out. What's wrong with you? Come on. If you want to get strong, if you want to get faster from one level to the next level, somebody's saying here, what do you got to do? You got to add resistance, okay? You have to add resistance. To get you stronger, to take you from one place of strength to the next place, you have to add more weight, you have to run faster, you have to do whatever. You have to have that to get you to the next place of strength. Understand? You think about all this wind that we have around here. What does all that wind do for the trees around here? It does two things. There are maybe more than that, but at least two things. What does it do? It makes them stronger. It gets that root system incredibly deep and incredibly strong, right? And the other thing that that resistance does is what? It knocks down all the old branches. Every time we have a windstorm, I kid you not, when there's a bunch of branches laying on the ground, I say, Lord, thank you that you allow the enemy to resist against us to knock out the dead junk in my life, to pull that stuff down, to reveal it and get it out of my life. Now, understand this. There are some battles you were never meant to face. You were never meant to fight. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, he says, when you pray, pray this, and you know the prayer, and then he says, and pray, lead us not into what? Lead us not into temptation. And that word temptation means trial, hardship, or difficulties. Lead me not into a trial, a hardship, or difficulty, but deliver me from what? From the evil one. You realize that some of you right now today, you are in the middle of a battle. God said, I never intended for you to be in this thing. You aren't supposed to be here. You say, well, what do I do? You stand up and say, in Jesus' name, get out of my face, devil. Amen. Get out of my face. I resist you in the name of Jesus. There's some trials, some hardships, some wins God allows, and he allows those things to strengthen you, to make you strong. He wants you, man, he doesn't want you to be a little old one-year-old baby as a 54-year-old man, okay? I mean, that's sad when you see some person that hasn't developed physically. God wants you to develop spiritually, and so he allows resistance. But there is some resistance some of you are facing. God said, I don't want you in that place. Resist it. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I'm getting fired up. All right, here we go. Go, go, go. Here we go. Let me give you one more thing, and then we'll call up the praise team, okay? Appreciate your patience. Here we go. God, the other thing about staying free is God calls out your new self. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, read that scripture with me. It begins with put on. Read it with me. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator. The key thing is this putting on. Again, I'm going to live out of my new nature, live out of my new identity as a child of God, and I'm going to be renewed. My mind, this refers back to like Romans chapter 12, having the renewal of my mind. I'm going to be renewed as I learn to know my Creator, to know my Father, and I'm going to become more like Him. I'm going to become more like Jesus. All right, so there's this process. And so God is calling us to this new self. And what God does is he frees us up to begin to live reflectively. Next Sunday, you're going to hear a great message on introspection. A great message on introspection. Be here. I want to touch on it just this. These were in my notes. Difference between reflection and introspection. They're different. Reflection is not the same as introspection, but it is being aware of what is rising to the surface. And the Lord is saying, okay, I'm bringing something to the surface here. And I want you to deal with it. I want you to put on your new nature. Something is coming. If this is kind of below the surface, it's coming up to the surface. And I want, now it's time for us to deal with it and to put on your new nature and become renewed as you learn to walk in Him. So God allows things to come up through circumstances, through prayer, through hardship, through vision encounters, whatever. He brings it to the surface and He says, okay, it's time now that you deal with this thing. Here's what introspection does. You're going to find out a whole lot more about it next week. But one thing introspection does, it digs holes in dangerous places. In fact, it digs holes into places God never meant for you to dig into. Introspection, what it does is that you are searching for the roots of things, the behaviors of things, without the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And this always leads you away from God. It always takes you down a downward spiral. But when God wants you to reflect, all of a sudden, He begins bringing stuff to the surface. He says, okay, we're going to deal with this. I'm going to show you what's going on here so that you can be renewed, so you can put on this new nature and live out of that reality. So this whole Target thing that's going on, okay? You know the Target thing that's going on? Everybody know the Target thing that's going on. If you don't, just Google Target thing going on, okay? You'll find out. So here they are. They're going to open up the bathrooms to whatever sexual orientation you say you are. Or they've already done that, okay? Whatever sexual orientation you say you are, go to that bathroom. We're not going to discriminate. Listen, folks. Common sense. Wisdom. Do you know we not see how far, where this thing is eventually going? It's going into the locker room, and it's going to end to anything else that is gender specific. It's going, okay? So I'm not going to get onto all that, all right? Not going to go there. But when this thing came out, I am telling you, I got so mad. I just got infuriated mad. Stephanie can attest. I spent about 4 hours one evening just trying to figure out, where did this come from? Why are they doing this? What's going on here? And I mean, I'm like, woo, up here at this level right now. Way up here at this level. It wasn't just anger. It was volatility. Volatility is never good with me. I don't know that it's good with anybody, but it's especially not good with me. I mean, I was ready. Stephanie can tell you, I was ready to go take on the stinking manager down there at the Target store, okay? Like he has anything to do with it. I don't care. I'm just going to take him on, okay? It's just the way I felt. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, I was telling some guys, I said, man, if I had a paintball gun, I'd just go shoot up the front of that store, you know? They'd have targets everywhere, right? Bah, 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 bah. Honestly, I mean, that's how volatile I was on this. I wasn't going to do it. Don't go say, you know, guess what our pastor was about to do, you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, that thought crossed my mind. So that's where I was, just this volatility. I'm like, I spent 4 hours one evening just this thing eat on me instead of just saying, okay, they make that decision. I'm going to make my decision. All right. And that's going to be my decision and just go on with it. So it's good. And then it continued to just kind of rumble through my system and rumble through my system. And finally, I was asking the Holy Spirit, what is going on? Why am I so angry about this thing? Why is it just, it's eating at me? And this is where this putting on the new nature, because I'm asking, show me, where's this coming from? And then boom, it came. Three incredibly difficult, stressful, emotional, grief-filled funerals in, 12 days or something like that. And some of you are part of those. I mean, that just wrung me out. And so what was coming out of me was this grief, this emotion, this hurt, this stress, all this stuff was coming, and it found its voice in this Target issue. And then when that happened, in about, 12, 24 hours, like, okay, I'm good. I'm still angry, but I'm good. It was no longer volatile. And so that's what we allow. We call out this new self. Lord, that's what it means to live reflectively. To ask the Holy Spirit to highlight things. There's a whole lot more here. I'm going to ask the praise team if they would come on up at this time. And I'm telling you, some of these questions, this is a really good question. And that second question is a great question. What are you looking for as you try to stay free? Are you just want relief? Or do you want to find the truth? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Okay. Man, this is important right here, right there. See, right here, that was me. What's going on? Why do I have this disproportionate response? What is going on there? Because that oftentimes is a revelation of where the lie or the sin or the stronghold is. And these are some great weapons. I'm just going to put them all up. Man, that's the best weapon right there. It's just truth inside of God, humility. And I've said this question before. It's a great question to ask people if you're vulnerable enough, if you're honest enough. And it's this question. And only people that are closest to you. You wouldn't ask just kind of a nominal friend or whatever. You would ask maybe your spouse or your children. I've asked my spouse, I've asked my children this question. How do you... Darren, here we go. How do you experience me? How do you experience me? And man, if you're humble enough, you'll listen to that, not try to, you know, justify all your stuff. But that reveals stuff in that the Lord says, okay, we want to deal with this. Reflective. Well, I want you to put on your new nature. And then the last one's here. Now, here's the invitation, and we are going to have an invitation today. I want a prayer team to come down front, deacons to come down front. The invitation is this. If you're here today and you do not know your Heavenly Father as your Heavenly Father, all you know Him is as a distant God. You don't have a close relationship with Him. You know He's up there. You know He sent Jesus, but you've never put your personal faith in Jesus. Then we are going to invite you to come forward to pray to receive Christ, to put your trust in Him today, to say, you're not just a God who's far away. You're the God now who's nearby, who's inside of me through the person of the Holy Spirit. It's admitting you're a sinner, recognizing that sin, asking God to forgive you, and putting your faith in Christ. That's good news. Amen? Amen. If you're here and you've not done that, do that today. Many of you have, but many of you, you're not walking as a child of God. You're walking as a servant. A servant who's always comparing yourself to other people. A servant who's justifying behavior. I can act this way. I deserve these things. They should do this for me. You're acting as a servant and not as a child. And you need a revelation, a greater revelation of what it means to be a child of God. I want to tell you something. I'm not perfect. I know that. But God's given me a revelation of what it means to be a child of God. A little bit. And I believe in the impartation, the laying on of hands for the release of that to you. So if that's you, I want you to come down front. I'm going to pray for you to get God give you a greater revelation of that. All right, let's stand together. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you, Father, for showing us your heart in the life of Jesus. And we thank you that our identity is found in him as a child, as a son, as a daughter. And I pray, Father, that today that there will be this new life that would be imparted to people as they come to understand themselves as no longer a slave to sin, but as a child of God. Amen. Let's sing this great song together, and then we'll be dismissed. And if you need prayer, any of those apply to you, I want you to come down front.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with songs of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. God, I'm no longer.
Sing it out.
God bless you. I want to speak a blessing, a benediction over you. My wife and I will be out in the atrium. Of course, there are also going to be pictures that will be taken. But for our first-time guest, we'll be there. We'd love to visit with you and give you a special gift for being here on this Mother's Day. 1 John chapter 3. Here we go. Amen. Put your hands out. Receive this as a blessing from God. Benediction is a blessing. He says this, "See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us. For he calls us his children, his sons and his daughters. And that is what we are." Say that with me. "And that is what we are. But the people who belong to the world don't recognize that we are children of God because they don't know him. Dear friends, we already We already are God's children, but he has not shown us yet what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he, Jesus, is pure. Amen. God bless you.